Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Positive Radio. I was just telling our guest that Toby Jr. is just itching to be part of this show. There is no space between me, the computer, the phone, and his toys. He's right there. But that's what makes it all fun, barking dogs in the background on Positive Radio. Well, we've got a really exciting show today. Going to be talking to an individual who, like many of our guests, has been inspired by pets, but this guest has also been inspired by an animal to write. And that really, really intrigues me because, as you know, Toby Sr. was the inspiration for me to kind of sit down and write a book, and I really didn't have any plans to be an author, but you know what? Toby Sr. gave me so much content, wrecked my house so many times, and inspired people through his pet therapy that I decided to write a book. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest, and then we're going to have the opportunity for her to share what I've missed. Now, in terms of today's guest, we're going to be talking to Mary Beth Haynes. And, you know, she empowers people to make choices that promote action, personal growth, and healing, and that's what the show is all about. For more than 20 years, so I know she must have started when she was two, for 20 years, Mary Beth has gained and gathered a wealth of knowledge and experience from her training in social services, crisis prevention and intervention, and counseling. She was a grief consultant and educator, and her work focuses on practical and supportive strategies for coping during difficult times. Now, after obtaining diplomas in a variety of areas, including educational resources and special needs and applied behavior analysis, Mary Beth began her career by providing support to people with physical and developmental disabilities, and soon she discovered that those disabilities were in fact abilities, and her clients in turn taught her many, many things. Fast forward, Mary Beth has made it possible to put her passion into action and share it with other people, transforming grief into healing. So let me just bring Mary Beth on the line so we can talk further, learn more about her, and then we're going to talk about her book. So welcome to the show, Mary Beth.
Hi, Charmaine. Thanks for that great introduction. It is absolutely awesome to be here.
Well, I am so glad you're here. And there's a quote that I want to share that was given to me in your introduction that I just think sets the stage for this whole conversation. Your personal favorite quote is, "Pets come into our lives to bring us many gifts. And it's when we open our eyes fully that we can then truly see the magic that each gift brings." I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and you know what? It really is all about the gifts that our pets give to us. I often sometimes will say to people, you know, when you think about your pet, what gifts do you share? What gifts does your pet bring? And when we really take a moment to just become present and look at the bond and connection that we share with our pets, and we see, as I say, you know, we open our eyes and we actually see those gifts. Truly, that's where the magic lies. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
I just love that because I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, our dogs, and I grew up with pets, and then, of course, as an adult, I've had three amazing dogs in our life, and each of them have taught me something different. You know, Toby Sr. taught me about patience, purpose, not being a perfectionist. And Toby Jr. is teaching me about the importance of play and how valuable activity is in our life because this guy does not sit still. So, I mean, he's added a whole new energy, and these really are gifts. Now, Mary Beth, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is you were inspired to become a writer. So before we talk about the book, give us the title and give us a web page so if people are sitting at their computer right now, they can pop over and check you out and your book.
Absolutely, yeah. So the book is titled The Power of Pets, 7 Effective Tools to Heal from Pet Loss. And the web page would be powerofpets365.com.
Wonderful. And what a great title. I mean, we've seen pets that have just been amazing in healing. And actually, one of the things that I learned is that our pets have also helped me through our own grieving processes in our personal lives. And I see that your book includes practical strategies. So the reader that's reading The Power of Pets can find these easy tips to read, but it's also supportive and helps people through the healing process. So I know that there's inspiration behind writing this whole book. So let's talk about that inspiration. How did this come to be?
Okay, well, this is where I sometimes get very passionate and emotional all at the same time when I talk about this part. You know, you had mentioned about, you know, the age of 2 when I had first started having pets in my life. And, I mean, I'm going to be 43 next month. So that's, you know, having pets from such an early age into adulthood and beyond is something that has just been normal to me. And when I was writing this book, I really wanted it to be practical. And when I was talking with my publisher, he said, you know, let's put something together that would be very practical for the reader to use. Because of really how, when we look at it, how pets enrich our lives. You know, when we experience the loss of a pet, the loss can be so profound that when we're healing, we're often on the inside looking out, right? We're trying to find our way. And when we're looking at having to still deal with daily life and the things that we need to do and our obligations, having things that are practical can really empower us forward.
And absolutely.
Yeah. And so when you're feeling and experiencing grief and loss, for example, with this book being on 7 effective tools to heal from pet loss, you're having a variety of emotions, thoughts, and feelings that are happening. And knowing that you're not alone and knowing that what you're feeling is valid and very, very real, and it's with that how we can unite together in support of one another. So, you know, I mentioned about having pets in my life since the age of 2, and you know, I was always taught, like my father taught us children growing up, you know, if you give pets what they need, if you give animals what they need, they will give back to you. And they do. And as you know, you've mentioned, you know, Toby, you know, taught you about patience and purpose, I believe you said, and Toby Jr., you know, about play. And, you know, our pets really do have many, they are our teachers, essentially. So kind of getting into why I've written this book is one little guy that really, really touched my heart. Of course, all my pets have. His name was Kitty. I'm sure by his name you can tell what type of animal he was. And he, you know, I was blessed to have him come into my life when he was 9. And he lived with me before I met my husband, and then lived with us until the age of 20 and a half. So I say that's a very, very good life. And he taught us, you know, the bond and connection that we have had with him. He taught us, you know, family, you know, purpose of being together as a family and that unconditional love as well as other things. And when he passed, it affected me a little bit differently than I had ever experienced before. And with grieving his loss, and being able to want to do something to empower others who are in the same situation was the inspiration why I wrote this book. My organization is called The Power of Pets, and it would not be here today if it wasn't for Kitty. So he definitely is the inspiration behind all of this.
It's amazing when you talk about Kitty and the inspiration behind not only writing the book, the organization, all of it, the lessons, the gifts. I've heard that from so many people. And, you know, what I just find so touching is that everybody's gifts are different and everybody's lessons are different and the way that their pets inspire them are so, so unique. Now, one of the things that I think is super exciting about your book, and we're talking, folks, to Mary Beth, and she is the author of Power of Pets. And we're talking right now about the book, and I see that you've actually interviewed and included quotes from several different leaders in the pet industry, and that's throughout the book. And I know some of these names are going to be familiar to you, folks. Dr. Marty Becker. Actually, Dr. Becker wrote the foreword for you, and he's also the contributing veterinarian on the Dr. Oz Show and Good Morning America. Who are some of the others that you quoted in your book, and how did you find that experience connecting with these influencers and incredible people?
It was such an amazing experience. When I had started writing the book, my publisher recommended, let's get some research, let's do some as you're writing your book, and let's start interviewing, you know, people, companies, and organizations that would be in the pet industry, specifically that could share, you know, experiences, perspectives with regards to grief and loss. And so, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, Dr. Marty Becker, what an amazing man he is. I mean, he is so open to sharing and what he does to be able to support pets and those who love them. I was able to interview actually 82 people for the book.
Wow.
Yes, and I found that such an amazing experience. Some of the people that I interviewed, for Wayne Pacelli, the CEO and President mm-hmm. of the Humane Society of the United States, we had a great interview together. Barbara Cartwright, the CEO of the Canadian Federation of Humane Societies, was another one.
Wow.
Dr. Jane Shaw, she's with the Argus Institute at Colorado State University. You know, Ernie Sloan, he's the editor with DogFancyDogChannel.com, and I was able to interview, you know, 34 veterinarians, pet photographers. It was just such an amazing experience.
Wow.
I think what really came out of that as well was I didn't only get to create a relationship with these people based on their professional expertise, I also was able to connect with them based on their personal as well. Every single one I interviewed had a passion for pets, and so we're able to provide information based from a professional and also a personal perspective.
Wow, fabulous. And, you know, not only does it lend support and credibility to a book when you have incredible experts and such passionate people that you did interviewed in your book, the other piece, though, I think that's so important is it provides all those different perspectives. And that's one of the things that I've learned just through having a radio show and blogging about pets is that there's so many different perspectives and backgrounds and experiences. So I can just imagine that your book really has something for everyone because you've taken such time and care to interview such a vast array of people in the profession.
Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah, I really wanted to be able to encompass a variety. You know, there was a couple of aftercare services that are in the Greater Toronto Area, Thistledown Pet Memorial, Pets at Peace. They offer, you know, cremation services, things like that. And just being able to learn as well what is available out there to us as pet parents, as pet owners, you know, knowing that there is caring people out there to make sure that we get what we need with regards to aftercare services.
Yes. Now, your book really begins with taking that reader on a journey, and you talk about all paths lead to healing. Can you take us through an example of what this might look like and about the journey in your book?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. When you begin reading the book, and again, you know, the people that are going to be reading this book most likely are going to be experiencing grief and loss. Maybe they want to help somebody that they know is, but for the most part, they'll be, you know, looking for ways that they can support themselves in their own healing. So when you begin reading the book, you know, you might be at a stage where you're really not sure where to go. Again, I mentioned before about having different thoughts, emotions, and feelings going on inside. In society, you know, we have a certain amount of people that are quite open to this and are quite supportive to this, but we also have another side where they don't understand the same way, and there might not be that same type of support. And so you might be feeling like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be grieving this hard. Why am I having such a hard time with this? You know, when so and so went through this, they didn't take it this hard, or they were able to heal much faster than I am. And sometimes we can have this questioning, and just be really, really hard on ourselves. So it's, first of all, this is all normal, and this is where having the support is really important. So at the beginning of the book, I take you on a journey. And you begin the journey by walking along a path. And as you come along this path, you notice, you know, birds singing and, you know, things like that. And then all of a sudden, you're going to find that your path forks. But instead of going left or right, it actually forks in seven different directions. Each direction is significant of one of the seven effective tools. And so a lot of times people are overwhelmed, and so when they see all these directions, they don't know which way to go, and that's very symbolic of what we feel like when we're grieving. And so basically what happens is when you get there, you need to make a decision, and you're not sure which path do I take. And if you're ready to take one of those paths, you're reminded and assured that all paths lead to healing. If you are not ready and you want to turn back, that's okay too. Because, again, all paths, they lead to healing. And the reason why I set it up this way is because I really wanted to be transparent in that there is no one right way to heal. Healing is unique, and everybody can heal in the way that is best for them. One of the people, a grief counselor that I interviewed for this book, Melissa Axler, I say this in her memory. I quoted her in the book. She said, "Grief is like a snowflake, unique in shape and size. All emotions are unique." And that's exactly right. Our healing is unique. And so at the beginning of the book, it's you are on a journey, and everything is symbolic of that journey. And just knowing that you're safe, and that no matter what path you choose, that all paths lead to healing.
Wow, I love how you frame that. And I'm a visual learner, so, you know, as you were talking, I was picturing somebody walking down a path and seeing all these different forks. And thank you for mentioning that every healing process is unique, and that there isn't really a rule book that goes through, here is how you should feel at a certain time. Because I've heard so many pet owners, pet families say, well, this wasn't like 5 years ago when we lost a different pet, they compare their experience to someone in their family or in their workplace that experienced the loss. And I think when we can get sort of remove those comparisons and, like you said, experience what's going on, we're able to move through that grief. And I know that in your book you actually mentioned recognition. This was so interesting for me. You mentioned recognition as being the first tool in the seven effective tools to heal from loss. So what tell us about the impact that this particular tool can have on a person's healing.
Well, recognition is a very simple tool. In fact, all these tools in the book are simple tools. They're not based on rocket science, and that's what makes the book very practical. It's a very simple tool, but one of the hardest, because when we are healing from grief and loss, I think that we often don't recognize that healing actually needs to happen. When we take the first step, so, you know, when we take that first step and realize that it has to take place, that it needs to take place, that it's healthy for it to take place, you know, that what we're feeling is valid and that it's real, we then open the door to allow that healing to take place. Does that make sense? Like,
Absolutely, it really does.
Mm-hmm. You know, the bond and the connection that you share with your pet is strong, and recognizing that this, you know, the space is needed for healing, it's really important. And we all know that in this day and age, I mean, we can very easily get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. You know, we have deadlines, we have kids to take to soccer, we have, you know, this appointment, this meeting, things like that, and we can get very caught up in that and actually don't really give ourselves the time and the message that grieving is valid and necessary for us to be able to heal. So recognizing that it's okay to grieve and give room for that in your life is the first step of recognition.
I think that's so, so important. And people sometimes just want to race through the grieving process or remove all the feelings that just don't feel good. And in your book, you actually talk about these seven effective tools that for healing. And we talked about recognition. And the tools, folks, just for those of you that might be joining us now or you want to write this down, because I think this is a great, great process for us to understand. So Mary Beth, in her book, The Power of Pets, talks about seven effective tools, and they are recognition, which we just spoke about, permission, learning, personal empowerment, receiving guidance, taking action, and the gifts of many. Seven effective tools for healing. So let's talk about the gifts of many. What is this tool all about?
Well, the gifts of many, in my thought, is one of them. I mean, they're all important tools, and they're all based on succession of one another. Gifts of many is one of the most important and empowering tools that I really feel that we can use in healing. It's a tool that's dedicated to learning, how we were talking about the gifts, you know, the wonderful gifts that we get from our pets. When it comes, and this takes a bit of a different way of looking at the grieving process, because when we're grieving and when we're experiencing those thoughts, feelings, and emotions, it's not fun. It's something that we don't enjoy. We don't get up in the morning really looking forward to having to go through a day with them. And so it's taking those gifts and looking at it and realizing that there can be more gifts that can come out of heartache, sadness, and pain felt from the loss of our pet. It's a message of believing that there's a reason why you and your pet came together, why you and your pet found each other at the exact right time that you were meant. And we talked about how pets give to us many things, those gifts. Well, those gifts, you know, are like companionship, friendship, laughter. You know, what did your pet do that was quirky that always made you laugh? You know, what about the unconditional love? What about the feeling of being needed? You know, of course there's many, many more. Those were just a few that I just named off there. But when we looked at these as gifts, and when we realize that these are gifts that we've shared and received, we can know that they will always remain with us, and we can use them as a tool to bring us comfort as we heal. So when our pet, unfortunately, having a human lifespan and an animal lifespan, if we have a pet in our lives, the chances of us experiencing their passing is going to be quite high. Their lifespan isn't as long as a human. And so even though our pets will transition and pass, their memory will stay with us. So even though they're no longer here in the physical sense, our connection to them still remains. And that, our time with our pet is something that has happened. It's now part of recorded history. So even though they're not here physically, the connection and their gifts of many remain. And that is something that we can celebrate. So, you know, the gifts of memory of many, you know, again, is something that when you can look at it that way, your pet's connection can actually support you forward as you heal. Pain can heal, but memories, they last a lifetime.
They do. And you know, I've always said that pets connect people, whether they're with us right now or talking about the memories that we have with these pets. And I can tell you that I've met some of the most amazing people around the world, and it all started with a conversation about an animal. And it's just beautiful when you talk about these gifts. And I must say, Mary Beth, I really appreciate you explaining grief and loss and healing in a way that is positive, because like you said, these are not feelings that are easy to deal with, but you've given us a perspective that is based in hope and moving forward, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. That, you know, that's my whole goal of that. So I really appreciate you identifying and saying that as well.
And the Power of Pet book, before we ask if there's anything else that you want to add to what we've talked about today, where can people buy the book? Where is it available?
Well, they can go to powerofpets365.com, and they can order it directly online there. It is also on amazon.com as well.
Wonderful. So before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to add to our conversation today?
Well, I really want to thank you for, you know, having me be on your show and being a part of this, being able to take, you know, this time together and connect and, you know, really, I mean, if we look at it, it's pets that have brought us together, right? You know,
yes.
It's, you know, our love of pets. And so the reason why I created the Power of Pets, you know, the organization that I have and everything, is it's all about empowering connections between pets and people. Again, inspired by Kitty. Pets, they add life to our lives. They give us so much. And, you know, I just really invite and encourage everybody to, let's give back to them. Let's remember, let's honor, and let's celebrate. Let's unite together and do this again. Because if for those that are listening to this right now, and for you and me, Charmaine, that are here right now, you know, again, it's pets that have brought us together. The only other thing that I wanted to mention too is that right now for my publisher and I, for a limited time, we will be offering a free downloadable copy of the book. And so if anybody wants a free downloadable digital copy, they're welcome to get that at powerofpets365.com.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that generous gift. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
Well, folks, we've been talking to author and expert, and Mary Beth Haynes has an incredible book, The Power of Pets. Make sure you check out the website. I'll be doing some blogs about the book and our conversation today, and I'll have all the links in there. Mary Beth, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about such an important topic.
Thank you, Charmaine. Thank you very much.
Well, I love what Mary Beth was saying about the lessons that we learn from our pets, because every single day our dog Toby is reminding me of something I need to do more of or less of, or just giving me a different perspective on a day-to-day issue. Mary Beth was talking about dealing with loss, and in business, in our companies, our corporations, our nonprofit organizations, we experience change and we experience loss. And sometimes the loss is the loss of an employee who no longer works there, the loss of a program, the loss of funding. I've had business clients who their loss has been that their company has been broken into, or people's privacy has been violated in some way. And loss happens. Mary Beth got me thinking about some of the different ways that we could deal with loss in our workplace and really help our team members through that. I know many, many years ago, working for a nonprofit organization, that some of the funding that they had for many, many years came to an end, not by any actions that the organization took. It was just that the government changed their focus, so the funding was no longer available. And it was a really big deal for this group of employees and volunteers, because the program was sort of always there. It was something that you could count on. The program also came with people to run the program, so it meant that several people ended up having to get new positions. Fortunately, they were able to be transitioned into one of the partnering associations, and one staff stayed with the organization that I was with. But it created a lot of challenges for the team. One of the things I noticed from that experience is that we didn't always have the information we needed to cope with things. And so one of our tips is that you really want to communicate regularly, effectively, and very, very clearly. Even if there aren't any updates, let people know there's no updates, there's no change since the last time we talked about our change at staff meeting. Because what happens in an organization is that when people don't have answers, when they're missing critical details, they make up the ending. And we see that all the time in our families, with kids even, if they don't know the information, or don't have a context to put around what they're experiencing in their life, they make up the ending. So we want to communicate regularly, effectively, and clearly. We want to let people know what isn't changing. See, everyone, as Mary Beth was saying, everyone deals with differently. It's an individual experience. And in the workplace, you have people who have had their own losses in their life. So it's essential that we recognize that coping is individual, and that different staff members will require different types of support. We also want to make sure that we're giving people the opportunity to ask questions. And really, we need to create that safe environment, don't we? It's got to be comfortable for people to ask questions. They want to feel that they're not going to be reprimanded in any way for asking a question. So we've got the communication aspect, the support, the individuality of grieving. And, of course, we want to look at what supports are available in the organization to extend to the employees and the volunteers and, in some cases, the clients. In many of my corporate businesses that I deal with as a facilitator and a professional speaker, my clients actually have employee family assistance programs that actually can provide extensive support to the families and the employees and their families. And that can go in the form of coaching, mentoring, counseling, training to help people deal with loss. A couple of other tips on dealing with loss in the workplace. We also want to watch our languaging around this, because sometimes what happens in change and loss is that people come from a mindset of scarcity. The world is ending, everything's ending, nothing's going to be the same. And the language creates an atmosphere of tension and stress and uncertainty. So we can actually help support people just by how we frame our communication, how we talk about the change, and how we reinforce what, in fact, is staying the same. When I was a family mediator years and years ago, that was one of the things I used to do when working with families. In situations where there was separation or divorce going on, the children often wondered what was going to happen for them for soccer lessons, and where were their stuffed animals going to be, and where would their Game Boy be. These were real situations for the kids. They worried about these things. So part of our work was that we worked with mom and dad to be able to talk about everything that will stay the same and everything that will be duplicated to help them cope. And the last tip I wanted to talk about was having a plan, having a strategy. The more that you can plan and strategize the change and engage people in that plan and the implementation, the easier it will be for people to cope with change. We've got to expect some bumps along the way, because, folks, there will be bumps. There'll be hurdles that come up that no one anticipated. But at least with a plan, people have something to sink their teeth into. They can wrap their head around the plan, and so they don't worry so much about the unknowns. I hope those tips helped you for coping with loss and change in the workplace. There's one thing we can count on. Change and loss will happen in life because, you know, it's just life. We are on a new show format. Mondays are Motivational Mondays, all things talking about business, the pet industry, and people doing amazing things in the world that will inspire you. And then Tuesdays is Travel with Pets and Travel Tuesdays. Wednesdays, today, is Wellness Wednesdays, and you can see we have a range of wonderful guests, just like Mary Beth, talking about important issues to do with wellness. And then Thursdays is Toby's Tales, all things pets. And then Fridays is Foster Friday. So we're going to be hearing from some people who have very touching stories of foster and adoption. And we'll also talk to some of the folks that work in these organizations and are doing great things to change the world. And on October 20th, we actually leave for Saskatchewan and Manitoba for the second leg, that's right, the second leg of Paws Across Canada Tour, our mission to make the world a better place, one paw, one person at a time. So please stay in touch with us. You can find us at our Facebook page, The Original Team Toby. And, of course, our webpage is theoriginalteamtoby.com. Toby is T-O-B-Y, rather. And then on Twitter, we are Team Toby and the number 2. Stay in touch. Share your stories. Share your tips on being motivated or staying in a high degree of health and resilience, or what you're doing in your pet service or business. And I want to thank you all for joining us on Positive Radio. I hope you're having a great day wherever you're listening from. And until next time, let's be kind to one another.